Welcome to another exciting show of Transformation. Prosper with Wayne, creating wealth, health, and happiness in your life with your host, life and business coach, author, entrepreneur, and lover of life, Wayne Sutton. Prepare to become excited, expand your beliefs, and truly prosper in all the areas of your life. Enjoy.
Hey guys, Wayne Sutton here, prosperwithwayne.com. Today we have Mr. William Turner on with us, an author of two books now and third book coming out. And I want to just take a moment to introduce William to you, to the team, because we here at Prosper with Wayne, we believe in creating health, wealth, and happiness. We believe in taking that God-given talent and taking it out into the world. And so I was looking for people that have done instead of just talk. William, you've done it instead of just talking, so we're glad to have you on board with us. You've written two books, and it looks like a third book on the way. Tell me about, if you don't mind, I know that you murder in our midst, death comes from the president. What? Tell me about you. Tell me about you being an author. How did you become an author?
I was in college writing my first paper for my English class, and the professor had written across the top, "It's amazing at the high rate of illiteracy in the United States." I was devastated. I went to Brother Newman and Brother Ward at Catholic Memorial High School in West Roxbury, Massachusetts. I showed them the paper, and they looked at it, and they told me, "What he's telling you is that your paper is technically correct, but you don't have style."
Hmm.
I asked them, I said, "Well, how do you acquire style?" Collectively, they thought, and then they told me, they said, "Read some murder mysteries." I spent the entire Saturday at Boston's library reading none other than Agatha Christie, paying close attention to sentence structure. And when I went and returned to classes that Monday, I was ready. However, little did I realize that I had been influenced by Agatha Christie.
Mm.
Hence, I started writing murder mysteries.
That is so awesome. You know, I always tell people, sometimes it's the things we don't see. It's the challenges in life that birth forth miracles. The challenge.
It is true, sir.
Yeah, so your challenge, if they'd have said, "Hey, good job." They also, and think about this, William, if they'd have just said, "Good job, that was great," you wouldn't have dug deeper. You wouldn't have had to go and find that next level. So
exactly, sir.
Yeah, and I want all of the people listening to this podcast to hear that. And I'm going to tell everybody on this podcast, whatever book you're thinking about writing, go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, pick up William Turner's books and read. Because, you know, I found the same thing. As I read a certain style of book, you naturally pick that up. You pick it up. And so, very important. Tell us about Murder in Our Midst. Tell us about that book and where it came from. And
Murder in Our Midst was my debut murder mystery. Prior to, when it was in the process, I submitted the manuscript to Avon Books asking for a talent critique. Surprisingly, the lady gave me one, and she told me that I did, in fact, have talent. However, there were some techniques I was lacking, and she told me what those techniques are, and I followed them to the letter, and I've been following them ever since.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So you got a secret formula. You got the recipe.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And I laugh because I know, Mr. Turner, you don't know all of my followers yet, but they've heard me say blueprint They've heard me say recipe. They've heard me talk about that 1,000 times. Discover the secret and replicate it. Replicate it. And then you got one that we'll probably title this episode, and it's probably going to upset a lot of people, but I know you're not referring it into the current president, but it's called Death Comes for the President. Tell me about that.
Well, Death Comes for the President is premised on a college graduate from Harvard, and his parents were so proud, they decided to award him with a trip to South America. There he falls in love with a stunningly, I mean stunningly beautiful woman. And he proposes, and she, but before she accepts, she tells him that she cannot have children, but that she's amenable to a surrogate. This hardly mattered to him because he was madly in love. They married, returned to Texas, where he had local political aspirations, state, and he had set his eyes on the presidency of the United States. He ran and he won. But in a beating were 5 murders committed at Walter Reed Hospital that had gone unsolved. The president ventures to China, Japan, and Turkey because he felt that the countries were not treating America fairly. When the plane returned to the United States, they could not rouse the president. They thought perhaps he was too exhausted. Later, they found out that he had been poisoned.
Right. So this book that you, both of these books, you know, I know you've got The Secret Recipe, which is really good. What have you learned from writing these books? What's been your biggest takeaway? What is your goal? What is your plan for the next book? What are your plan for the next books? But I want to find that out. But really, Death Comes for the President. That's a title that I bet catches a lot of people. Have you had any people relate that to the current administration or?
Well, sir, it was written well in advance of the current administration. But I would like to add, I am not politically involved, but in deference to Mr. Trump, he is the only president who has told us what he was going to do if elected, and he has so far done that. You might not like the way he did it. You might not like his personality. However, the presidents that I have lived during their administration, they were blatant liars. They would say one thing and do another. Trump has adhered to what he promised. There might be extraneous and peripheral things that people disagree with. For instance, immigration, and other things. However, you admire him for telling us the truth. He did not make promises, was elected, and then did an about face. And that is admiration enough.
Yeah.
But now all of the other attendant things might be distracting with the newly investigation and all of this. I pay close attention to that. But it does not distract or change my opinion that he was blatantly honest with the American people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tell you, one thing I always tell people here, whether you are for or against someone, I believe we're to respect the man in office. And yeah, and I really do. I believe in godly authority, and it doesn't mean everybody is of God. It just means I believe God sets people in authority. So there's my political rant on it. So I just wondered with the book title, because you know, I think when you look at a murder mystery, when you look at the topics that are already emotional, such as politics, when you start adding those two together, I can't wait to read the book myself. So I'm on Amazon now. I'm on Amazon literally while we're doing this podcast, looking at your books. And so I'm looking at Murder in the Mist, and here is Midwest Book Review said, it's a dark, convoluted mystery. You keep the reader guessing to the last page. An excellent pick. I love that. I love that. So, and Death Comes for the President. You know, I think you've got a great, just the titles are even catching my eye. So the reason I mentioned that, though, is there's so many people that want to write books. Maybe you've run into them. You tell people you're an author, and they go, oh, I'm writing a book one day. I'm going to write a book one day. Or maybe they've tried writing a book, and they failed. What kind of advice would you give those people?
Don't ever be discouraged. First of all, make sure you have your book proofread and edited if need be. And be aware that publishing is highly subjective. In plain English, it means it depends on how the reviewer's day is going. Whether they're having a pleasant day, whether they have a disturbing morning at home, maybe their love life is awry, it is highly subjective. And there are those who are fortunate enough to know an editor. That helps.
Yeah.
But it makes no difference how you get your book before the reading public, for they are the judges. It was a venerable agent who told me that, and she hails from, I think it's South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And I got my book out there, and one of my employees told me, he says, Mr. Turner, you have a review for A Murder in Our Midst. My heart sank. With temerity, I accessed Amazon.com, and I was surprised, elated, that I had received favorable reviews. And recently, it was a reader in New York who had purchased Death Comes for the President while he was en route to work. He shared it with his boss. His boss also read it, but it wasn't just an ordinary place that he was working. It was a book-oriented business.
Mm.
The boss got in touch with Hollywood,
uh-huh.
And Hollywood has been calling ever since, wanting to adapt A Murder in Our Midst and Death Comes for the President for the screen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That is so great. You know, and that goes back to, I want everybody here in this interview to catch that. Somebody corrected, told him to go read, to study. He did the work. He wrote the book. He got it edited. He did the work. It takes work. You want to be an author? Do the work. But now, it could be on the big screen. And that's amazing. So I tell you, and guys, I'm not just saying go to Amazon. Literally, while doing this podcast, I just went to Amazon and I just bought your book. So I'm excited.
Oh,
to
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, is William Turner? William Turner, I picked it up on Amazon. I'm an avid reader. I read a lot. I read a lot of nonfiction, which is really why I was excited to have you on the call as a fiction writer. Because a lot of people that just write nonfiction or just read nonfiction, I'm a ghostwriter myself, so I write for different businesses and ministries, and you just don't see my name on it. But I was really excited to have somebody here writing fiction and somebody here writing from a thriller standpoint, because it is one of the best ways to, number one, kind of escape. You know, some people meditate, some people do different things. I like to escape sometimes and just get into a good book or get away from, you know, from our daily hustle of life. But I say that to everybody that's looking to read, that's looking to, looking to write or looking to get a message out. Do the work. Do the work. It's that simple. And have an editor. That's very simple too. And something you said, you know, depends on the mood that day. I know people make and remake decisions every day depending on the mood they're in. That's just a reality.
Exactly, sir.
They
put so much emphasis on that genre. When they have written a romance novel, they find an editor who is recruiting romance writers. And when you submit it, a week goes by, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you think you have gotten that person's attention, only to receive a rejection notice. There was one lady who had advertised an editor that she read this individual's query letter. That's another trap. You can write the query letter yourself and be rejected. You can hire a professional query writer and still be rejected, which falls back on subjectivity of the editor. The lady stated she had read the query letter from a submission author, and she said she was so swept away, she just had to publish his book. And I wondered, what did the guy say in the query letter? I turned around and popped him up on the internet.
Uh-huh.
He was eye candy. Absolute eye candy. That was what she was looking at. Not the quality of the... You know, I can understand the human element. However, it was not the quality of the query letter. As with a degree in English from Boston University, I looked at the query letter and found numerous mistakes. And I said, well, it was his fortune, his good fortune, to be good looking. And all the more power to him. But I tell you what I did do, Mr. Fred.
What's that?
I went to the mirror to take a look at myself.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. So you have to use what you got. So we're doing this by radio, basically, because I think I got a face for radio, so I can appreciate that.
Right, and so you turn around, and you know you want to be pleasing to the public, and not causing them to gasp when they look at you. But I rely on my talent. And those pointers that Avon Book gave me were instructions that were easy to follow. Make sure the characters are well developed, that the characters can be identifiable, that the settings are accurate, and that the plot can be identified with.
Mm.
For example, my genre is mystery. There's the genre of thrillers.
Yes.
Although my books fall into both, a thriller, the difference is that a thriller is, the best example is the Cask of Amontillado, where Fortunato is entombed. And he's struggling to get out. And you are rooting for the one that has been entombed.
Mm.
He comes to an awareness of why he is there, why this occurred, who was the one who did it. Whereas with mysteries, the murder has been committed and the detectives are in pursuit. it requires the ability to write a convincing murder. And then you play the devil's advocate by being the police officer who is matching wits with the culprit to solve it. One thing that I admired, when I was working, I would commute to my job in Santa Ana, California, and there were police officers with whom I had become friends. They bought the book, A Murder in Our Midst and Death Comes with a President. And it was Jesse Cohn who complimented me on the investigative techniques employed. And I apprised him of extant autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
And the term somewhat baffled him. He says, autopsies are done on dead people. I said, no, you can do a living autopsy, recreating a person's life from birth to present. And that will give you a clue when you're investigating murders.
Hmm. Yeah, see, it is the details. I've got friends who've written a lot of books, and I've read a lot of books, and you can tell when somebody isn't quite what you think it is. So, yeah, absolutely. So, okay, guys, everybody listening to this on iTunes, you're listening to this you're looking at this on our YouTube channel, wherever you're finding this, go now to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pick up William Turner. So there's Murder in Our Midst, Death Comes with the President, and you have one more coming out soon. Do you want to give us the name for that one?
The name for that one is The Corpses Beneath the Tree.
The Corpses Beneath the Tree. And when will that be out?
That will be out in about 2 months.
About 2 months. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I am excited to have you on, William. I'm going to probably hop into your book later this evening. I mean, I love finding, discovering, and connecting with people such as yourself.
I appreciate that, sir, but a heads up. A Murder in Our Midst profiles an enviable friendship that defies race and class and finances.
Mm-hmm.
It is between a Caucasian, Raymond Babant, and Robert Winchell.
Hmm.
Both had attended Harvard. They both had hail from California, one rich, one marginal, and they became the best of friends. When Winchell became disgruntled as a police officer, he resigned and went to England, where he ran into the identical bigotry and prejudice. Raymond stepped in and used their international influence to get him a job with Scotland Yard. Everything was going swimmingly, but Raymond knew something was wrong with his friend. Using his influence, he found out what it was, unemployment. Well, Raymond writes him and tells him, come right away. Someone in my family is trying to kill me. Winchell drops everything and comes back to California, only to arrive too late. His friend was dead. Robert initiates an investigation, uncovers other murders committed by different culprits, but with a common motive.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think you will like it.
That sounds good. Guys, William Turner out of California, pick up the book, pick up his books, follow him, give him some feedback. One way to give him feedback is to share this podcast. Share this podcast. I know several of you that are my coaches. You're listening to this, and I'm gonna go ahead and call you out. You've talked about writing books. But you haven't done it yet. And I want you to do it. I want you to get out there and do what you've been called to do. And that's what we're about. That's what we want to see happening. William, thank you for your time this evening. I've truly enjoyed this this conversation. And I'll really look forward to enjoying your book. I'll give you a rating there on Amazon, too, guys. If you pick up William's book, give him a good rating on Amazon. And if the book's good, if it's not good, don't rate them at all. I used to tell people, if I've done great, then give me a great rating. If I haven't, don't rate me. Just tell me so I can fix it and do better next time. But in all seriousness, William, thank you for your time this evening. It has been my pleasure to have you on Prosper with Wayne.
And Mr. Sutton, I would like to thank you for the interview.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I will be in touch, okay?
Okay, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Guys, thanks again. Be sure, check it out. Check it out. And I look forward to hearing from you soon. Hit the share button. God bless.
Thanks for joining us again at Prosper with Wayne. Be sure to subscribe to us for more exciting, life-changing episodes. Go today, in fact. Go now to prosperwithwayne.com and enter your email for our exclusive newsletter and other resources. God bless and go prosper.